If you enjoy these episodes, please consider donating to help keep this podcast going by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Also, please give the podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends and family. Thursday, April 10th. The lesson from Daniel chapter 3, verses 25 and 34 through 45. In those days, Azarias prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord our God, deliver us not up forever, we beseech thee, for thy name's sake, and abolish not thy covenant, and take not away thy mercy from us, for the sake of Abraham thy beloved, and Isaac thy servant, and Israel thy holy one, to whom thou hast spoken, promising that thou wouldst multiply their seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. For we, O Lord, are diminished more than any nation, and are brought low in all the earth this day for our sins. Neither is there at this time prince, or leader, or prophet, or holocaust, or sacrifice, or oblation, or incense, or place of first fruits before thee, that we may find thy mercy. Nevertheless, in a contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be accepted. As in holocaust of rams and bullocks, and as in thousands of fat lambs, so let our sacrifice be made in thy sight this day, that it may please thee. For there is no confusion to them that trust in thee. And now we follow thee with all our heart, and we fear thee, and seek thy face. Put us not to confusion, but deal with us according to thy meekness, and according to the multitude of thy mercies. And deliver us according to thy wonderful works, and give glory to thy name, O Lord. And let all them be confounded that show evils to thy servants. Let them be confounded in all thy might, and let their strength be broken. And let them know that thou art the Lord, the only God, and glorious over all the world, O Lord our God. Haggai Commentary. The three young men knew not yet whether they would escape. When they beheld the angel, they had greater confidence, and broke forth into a hymn of praise. They now offer all they can, a humble heart. The Gospel from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. At that time one of the Pharisees desired Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the house of the Pharisee and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman that was in the city, a sinner, when she knew that he sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And standing behind at his feet, she began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And the Pharisee who had invited him, seeing it, spoke within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would know surely who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. But he said, Master, say it. A certain creditor had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And whereas they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which therefore of the two loves him most? Simon answering said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, Thou hast judged rightly. And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, Dost thou see this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she with tears hath washed my feet, and with her hairs hath wiped them. Thou gave me no kiss, but she, since she came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she with ointment hath anointed my feet. Wherefore I say to thee, many sins are forgiven her, because she hath loved much. But to whom less is forgiven, he loves less. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven thee. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath made thee safe. Go in peace. Haggai Commentary. The common opinion is that the woman was of a lewd, debauched life. Many say Mary Magdalene. Jesus Christ was then at table after the manner of the Orientals, reclined at length on a couch, a little raised from the ground, having his face turned towards the table, and his feet extended. He had quitted his sandals, according to the custom of the country, before he had laid himself on the couch. The Pharisee was egregiously deceived, first in thinking that Christ was ignorant of the character of the woman, when he not only clearly saw the past bad conduct of the woman, but the present unjust thoughts of the Pharisee. Second, in his erroneous inference that Christ could not be a prophet, for all things are not necessarily revealed by God to his prophets. Third, by judging of Christ after his own and other Pharisees' treatment of sinners, who, elated with pride and thinking themselves just, kept all public sinners at a respectful distance. But not those who are well, but such as are sick, need the physician. St. Cyprian says, "In proportion to our sins should be our grief." In the scriptures, an effect sometimes seems attributed to one only cause when there are diverse other concurring dispositions. The sins of this woman in verse 47 are said to be forgiven because she loved much, but in verse 50 Christ tells her, "Thy faith has saved thee." In a true conversion are joined faith, hope, love, sorrow, and other pious dispositions. This is one of those places upon which modern heretics lay so much stress in order to prove that faith alone can save us. But if they will attentively consider the different parts of this history, they will easily discover the fallacy of their argument. Because before Christ spoke these words, "Thy faith has saved thee," he had said to Magdalene, "Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much." Therefore she was justified not so much through her faith as her charity. Still she had faith, or she would not have come to Jesus to be delivered from her sins. It was therefore her faith working by charity that justified her, and this is the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Nevertheless, she had not that faith which modern heretics affirm to be necessary for their justification, namely a belief that they are already justified and that their sins are forgiven. This faith the woman here mentioned had not before Christ spoke those words to her, for it was to obtain the remission of her sins that she performed so many offices of charity, such as washing his feet. But it may be asked, why then does Christ attribute her salvation to her faith? The answer is easy and has often been given, namely that faith is the beginning of salvation, for it was her faith that brought her to Christ. For had not the woman believed in him, she never would have come to him to obtain the remission of her sins.